Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Jeff Struss, and we're sharing one daily news story well told. What do you do when a neighborhood or region is struck by disaster? Oftentimes, the residents are left confused and in need, suffering and grieving. Our guest today is the founder and director of Crisis Response International, Sean Malone, and he's mobilizing the body of Christ to meet pressing needs in an amazing way. That interview right after this.
Virginia teachers, take the lead in education with up to 64% off your graduate degree at Liberty University. This year has forced you to innovate, adapt, overcome, and you've not only risen to the challenge, you've crushed it. Now help education emerge from this crisis stronger than ever with your MAT or MED degree. Our transfer-friendly degree programs are 100% online and start as low as $282 per credit hour. It's our thanks for all you do for our future. To learn more, text TEACHER to 49595. That's TEACHER to 49595.
Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast, and I'm Jeff Struss, your host. I'm here with Sean Malone, the founder and director of Crisis Response International. Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate you making time to share with us. And, you know, it seems like you can't go too long in the news cycle before you hear about that tornado that strikes in the middle of the night or the hurricane that floods regions and shuts down businesses and destroys homes. You're the founder and the director of Crisis Response International, and you're doing the hard work. You're mobilizing people to get involved. So tell us a little bit about CRI. Tell us about your organization.
Yeah, Jeff, that is exactly what we do. You know, we've all been there. We've been watching the news, or we see something come up on social media, whether it be a hurricane, tornado, war situation. We wring our hands and we say, God, I wish I could help. And that's exactly what we do. We train people to go in times of crisis to meet the urgent spiritual needs, but also the physical needs as well. And oftentimes, you know, there's organizations and entities that, you know, can go in and meet those practical needs. But really, it's the job of the church, I believe, to go in and be the hearts and hands of Jesus. And that's exactly what we do. We're a nonprofit organization. It trains and mobilizes relief workers in the church to go in and set up mobile kitchens, you know, mobilize medical personnel. We have chaplains, you know, muck out homes after hurricanes, clean up debris after tornadoes, chainsaw crews, set up medical clinics and oversee situations and all of that. And that's what our hearts burn to do, is to mobilize the body of Christ when people really, really need it.
Well, Sean, it's a unique ministry. I think probably a lot of our listeners are familiar with homeless shelters or food kitchens or food pantries, but this is another level where you are running to the scene of disaster and rolling up your sleeves and providing what's desperately needed. And I love what you said, that you think it should come from the church, which I say a heartily amen to it. But, you know, how did you get involved? This isn't something that, you know, I'm guessing you didn't get recruited at your church, or maybe you did. I don't know. How did you get involved with something like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually didn't set out to do it on purpose. I was in the major motion picture business in New York City, and I was praying a lot. I was an intercessor. And it came out of really a burden, out of prayer and intimacy with Jesus. And everything that CRI does, Crisis Response does, is out of that place of intimacy, prayer, and worship, and, you know, just simple obedience. And I remember working in the film business back in 2000 in New York, and I would take my lunch breaks, and I would go up on top of different building tops, and I would just pray. I would just say, Lord, here I am. I take watch with you today, and what's on your heart? And many lunch breaks for about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months, I would just weep over Lower Manhattan. And I just had this sense that something terrible was coming. And I couldn't put my finger on it. But one day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, are buildings about to come down in Manhattan? And I took a trip around the United States and just visited different churches and whatnot. I came home. I was only home for 2 days. And the events of 9/11 happened. Wow. And I realized that this is what I had been praying about.
Wow.
And I remember watching on the news that night as firemen were digging with like 99-cent flashlights. They looked like ants on this big, huge, dark pile of rubble and burning debris. And I turned to my father and I said, Dad, you know, we light up New York City all the time, like daytime with our movie lights. Let's do something. And I'm sure everyone across America wanted to help out at that point in time, but we had a resource and we just stood up and we said, we're going for it.
Wow.
And we made a couple phone calls, and sure enough, the next day, we ended up right there at the base of the World Trade Center in the midst of our nation's like worst crisis of the generation.
Wow.
And it was overwhelming. I won't say that it was easy in any regard. Really, it was I had a background in the military or medical training, anything like that. But we set up the movie lights and we were able to help first responders dig through the rubble and do what they needed to do. And a couple of years later, I was working for Paramount Pictures in Long Island City, New York, and the Lord had spoke to me. He said, hey, you want to be a missionary? How about going to New Orleans? And I kicked and screamed, and I'm like, no, I don't want to go to New Orleans. I knew what he meant. I really didn't want to go to that place. And finally, I gave up, and he won. And 5 minutes after I kind of yielded to the Lord in that, my boss walked up to me, and he said, hey, we needed to go to New Orleans, go open up a movie studio for Paramount Pictures.
And
so sure enough, we got down there. And 5 days later, Hurricane Katrina hit. And here I was, I'm processing this. I moved back to New York 2 days before 9/11. I moved to New Orleans 5 days before Hurricane Katrina. And, you know, I have a saying, you only have to tell me twice. But we saw an outbreak of God's power and his presence as we just reached out to meet the needs of the people in New Orleans. And it ruined me. It ruined me for missions and evangelism in any other way, because in the midst of crisis, people want real answers, you know, and it's not a time to put the Holy Spirit in the broom closet. People are hungry for prayer. People are hungry for love at that point in time. And we have just seen God do amazing things around the world, from Haiti to Japan, from the Philippines to northern Iraq and the ISIS crisis, to tornadoes and just about every hurricane that's hit the United States over the last 10 years. We have been privileged to go with everyday people who just come take our training and in these times of crisis and respond with us. It's been amazing.
No, it's almost unbelievable. I mean, your story is such a dramatic one of God clearly speaking, clearly leading and guiding you. And obviously, it's a testimony to the call of God on your life and on Crisis Response International to meet these needs. And you just said something. You said it's around the world. So you guys, it's not just in America. You've traveled in other nations as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have people come from other nations and come get training. People host us in different cities and in other nations. And our heart is just to get boots on the ground when people really need it. So when crisis strikes, it could be the Philippines. It could be, like I said, northern Iraq. We don't necessarily respond to every crisis, but we respond to the ones that the Lord says go to. And we say we're green light people. We have a green light, and really, unless the Lord says stop. So, because it's just our heart, and we have just seen such incredible fruit. And, you know, oftentimes people are like, what can I do in a situation like this? How can I actually help? How can I really make a difference in this? And it could feel overwhelming. And, you know, oftentimes people will join with secular organizations or organizations that maybe they have to hide their values or they can't pray and minister for people. Well, I'll tell you what, we are full on Jesus loving people. And when we get out there, we don't hide a thing. We meet the practical needs, but we meet the more urgent spiritual needs in the midst of it. And it is, it's amazing. It really is an amazing ministry to be a part of. And I'm absolutely honored to do this every single day.
Well, you talk about going in there with teams of people. I mean, are you taking like normal people? Like I don't have military training. I don't have medical training. I mean, how do you take somebody who says, yeah, I'm available. I can help. I mean, what does that look like? And how do you deploy people like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you love Jesus and you have a heart to help people, then you're qualified. And the only thing we have people do is they go through our basic training. People can take our basic training online, and that's a great way to get involved. That's an easy way for people to get involved. Churches can host us for disaster relief seminars. But really, the best way that people can get trained, and it is an absolutely epic experience, It's come to one of our live boot camps at our mission base in Blue Ridge, Virginia, where it's about 4.5 days of intense crisis response training, where we train people in things like chaplaincy and food distribution, how to practically help people in terms of things like gutting out homes or clearing debris or using chainsaws. And, you know, some of these things people have never done before in their lives. And it's really an amazing experience. But in all of that, we train people how to minister, how to listen to people, and how to release God's power and love in the midst of the darkest situations around the world. It's really an incredible experience, and that I wish everybody could, you know, have an opportunity to come and do.
Well, first of all, it sounds like a great context for a men's retreat. You know, get out there with some chainsaws and, you know, whatever like that, throw some wood around. But you're saying you're training people to pray for the sick? Are you guys praying for healing, praying for miracles? Or, I mean, what does that look like?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine, you know, somebody who's just lost everything?
Yeah.
And many times I've stood there in people's yards where literally it was just the foundation left after a tornado, or, you know, I think of a typhoon in the Philippines where, you know, many family members were lost. And so to minister in a situation like that, it's an incredible privilege and honor, and you wouldn't believe how many people end up falling through the cracks. But absolutely, we pray for healing. We've seen all sorts of miracles over the 14, 15 years we've been in existence.
What are a few that stand out in your mind, a few that you remember? Any particular miracles, testimonies that you said, man, God, you showed up. That was amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, several come to mind. You know, we had two babies raised from the dead in Haiti, but one story I just absolutely love to tell, this was amazing. But down in New Orleans, it was during Hurricane Katrina. This was actually pre the time where we actually formed the organization, but this is one of my favorite testimonies. A woman, she lived around the corner. She hears the audible voice of the Lord tell her, get up, today's a new day. And she gets up and she's hearing this voice. Well, she was a prostitute and a drug addict. And this voice tells her, walk down the stairs. She walks down the stairs. The voice tells her, go down the street. She goes down the street. And at that very moment, the Holy Spirit says, Sean, go look out the window. And I walk over and I open up the blind. I look across the street. There's a lady kind of transfixed looking at our building. I'm like, what is going on here? And at that moment, the voice of the Lord told her, go in that building and let those people pray for you.
Wow.
As she stepped across the street, you could just see the oppression. You could see she was demonized and addicted and all of these things going on. And literally, as she stepped foot over the threshold of that entranceway into the building, the power of God instantly hit her. She starts speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Totally blew my whole 5-step ministry model and everything. And it was a dramatic encounter with God's, you know, love and power in that moment. She came back a couple of days later, and you know when it's real. I mean, literally, she like was floating into the building. Her feet were barely touching the floor, and we're like, "How are you doing, Joanne? How's it going?" She's like, "My goodness, the sky is blue and the grass is green, but I don't know how this Shiku Haramama thing. I haven't been able to sleep a wink." So we started a process of discipleship with her, but we have seen so many crazy things over the years. And, you know, in crisis and disaster, there's an element of desperation that happens in the human heart.
That's right.
And when you're there with the answer in that moment to stretch out your hand and release God's power, it's amazing. And there's something to that hunger. When you look at where, you know, when Jesus healed people in the Bible, it seemed like there was always that element of hunger and desperation. And that's something that we see again and again out on deployment. And it blows us away time and time again.
You know, I'm feeling like we are in a little bit of a Mission Sunday service at Sunday morning, where you hear the testimonies. And because this is what I'm thinking, there's somebody listening, their heart is burning. They're stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going, Lord, I'd like to see you move like that. And I want to have you pray for our listeners, because sometimes you just need that extra witness, that extra touch from the Lord to take that step. But Sean, before I have you pray for our listeners, you actually have a training coming up. It's coming up pretty soon. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a boot camp at the Cry Mission Base in Blue Ridge, Virginia. It's up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, beautiful location. We have an 85-acre campground there. It's April 28th through May 1st. And this is intensive training, like I said. But here's the thing, is oftentimes we take inventory of ourselves. We see our bankruptcies. We see our weaknesses. We disqualify ourselves from the historic exploits that the Lord would have us do. And I would tell you, anybody under the sound of my voice right now, if your heart is stirred for this, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what the disability is. I don't care what you did yesterday. If your heart's burning right now, that is the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit touching you right now. And he might be saying, hey, this is for you. And so, and I'll say one more thing. There's a known fact. If you don't take action within 24 hours of something like, you know, an email that you get or somebody, you know, teaches you something, if you don't, likelihood of you taking action is pretty slim. So if your heart is stirred, I encourage you to check out the website, CRIOUT.com, and check out that event. And go ahead and register. I'm telling you, you will make lifelong friends and you will have epic short-term missions right here in the United States and even around the world if that's something that you want to do. And but don't disqualify yourself.
Come on.
That's one of my main things. I just want to have people out there in the field, and God can use you. God wants to use the things that he's put in you and the giftings, callings, maybe things that you even let down. And we hear it all the time. I've always wanted to become a missionary. I've always wanted to go on a mission trip. Guys, this is for you.
And what a great time as our country. We've all processed these last 18 months, however long it's been, of a crazy time. A lot of times people feel disconnected. They feel discouraged. What a great solution to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to go be the solution.
Yes.
I'm going to go jump in. I'm going to say, here am I, Lord. Send me and see God move in a powerful way. I think it's a no-brainer, and I hope our listeners take you up on it. Sean, you're a man who hears the voice of God. You're obeying him. Could you just pray over our listeners and ask that same fire that you're carrying, that it would be ignited in each of the hearts of those that are listening today?
Absolutely. It'd be my privilege. Jesus, we love you. We love you, and we love your heart for the nations. We love your heart for the broken. And Holy Spirit, right now, we just ask, God, that you would touch each and every one under the sound of my voice. And we ask that you would even connect the dots right now for those who are stirred, God. Lord, I ask that you would clear a way, make a way for them to get involved, God. Those who are just, this is something I've always wanted to do. God, we just ask that you would apprehend them today. Those with even just a curiosity, God. Lord, I ask that you would just give them the next step on how to get involved, what to do, Father. And Lord, I ask that that our own disqualification or the own voice that talks us out of doing great things for God, Lord, I just ask that those voices would be silenced, God, and that provision would be released, favor with time, job, family situations, Lord, that there would be a way made that they could make it to this boot camp or get involved somewhere down the road, God. And we just thank you right now, Lord. And I just ask a blessing on my friends, Lord, that they would be prepared and ready, even in their own communities, God. We know these things coming upon the earth, they're getting closer and closer together, God. We don't want to hunker down in fear, God. We want to be the light and the salt of the earth. And so, God, here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. I've been here with Sean Malone, the founder and director of Crisis Response International. Sean, for those that want to go ahead and say, you know what, I want to say yes, I want to sign up, where do they go? How do they contact you?
Yeah, real simple. Just go to the website, CRIOUT.com. Scroll down, you'll see the boot camp page right there. Just click on that button. You could read about the event and go ahead and register. If you have questions about the event or training with CRI, you could just email training@CRIOUT.com.
Beautiful. Sean, it was such a privilege. Amazing to have you on the podcast, and we hope to have you back sometime soon.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you, Sean. Well, you've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.